You're listening to audio from the West End Community Church in McGregor, Manitoba.
Well, good morning. It's good to see you here this morning. And I shared with the first service that it is good to be able to look out and to see people here. It is depressing to preach to empty benches. And I also shared with the morning service that you don't want to know some of the things that I did when I was preaching in here by myself. Sometimes I was laying down on benches or just facing this wall here or sitting in the sound booth. Sometimes I preach from my office. Didn't know that, did you? But I did. But this is infinitely better. And I'm glad that we can be here together. And I appreciate that you are being here this morning. I appreciate that you're just kind of working with us. I know some of these things that we're doing and spacing out everybody, you know, for some of us, maybe it's a little bit of overkill. Some of us, it's a good thing. And some of us, it just feels like a big pain. But I appreciate you just kind of working with us. And hopefully we won't have to do this forever. But until that time, we're just going to keep doing this. And whether you believe in all the coronavirus hype or not, and all the things that we've had to do in this time, the reason why we're doing this is so that we can have church. And so that's one of the important things. So we're just, Pastor Matt and I, and some of the leadership, we're just trying to follow the rules so that we can have services. And that's what we're trying to do in order to meet together. Because that's one of the things that I think I've seen the most and heard the most, is that people were looking forward to just meeting together, to fellowshipping. It's one of the beautiful things about church, isn't it? To be able to see like-minded people and to worship together. That's what church is all about. And that's why we're here this morning. It was Corrie ten Boom who said this: "I've learned that we must hold everything loosely, because when I grip it tightly, it hurts when the Father pries it loose and takes it from me." That's the question that I want to ask you this morning, is what are you holding on to? What is it this morning that maybe you are grasping as tight as you can because you're worried that you're going to lose it? And then the second question that goes along with that is, what is it that you're holding on to, and is that thing getting in the way of your relationship with the Lord? That's where we want to go today. I want to talk about a story about a father and a son, because it's Father's Day, but there's much more here than just the relationship between a dad and his boy. There's something for each and every one of us, even if we're not dads. I think there's something here in this story that we can all learn. But before we get into the story, I think it's important that we identify maybe some of the things that we're holding on to. What are the categories of things that we can grasp so tight that they become the things that our world revolves around instead of where our focus should be? I mean, I think there's some categories there. I think one of the things that we hold on to very tightly is our possessions. Don't you think? we hold on to the things that we have, our homes, our vehicles, our bank accounts, all of those things are our possessions. But what if those things are taken away? What if a disaster hits, a tornado comes through and destroys your home? What if your home burns down? What if you lose all your money? I mean, maybe none of those things would happen, but what if? I know that you've heard me say before, it's all going to burn. At some point, the things that we have aren't going to matter. And that age-old adage will come true. It's not what you know, it's who you know. I mean, honestly, at the end, it is going to be all about who we know and who knows us. And it's not going to matter how much money you have. It's going to matter much more who your Heavenly Father is. Our possessions. One day they're all going to burn. What about our occupations? Sometimes our focus, our very lives are wrapped up in what we do. And our self-image is tied to that as well. But we need to make sure that our careers are the things that we do aren't the things that we hold on to, that they don't become a god to us. Somebody once said, hold them loosely. Don't be afraid to let them go. What about our dreams? Dreams are good, right? To be able to have dreams. Dreams are what keep us motivated. They keep us alive with hope. But we need to hold those dreams loosely, because sometimes dreams fade away. Sometimes they die. What about our relationships? Sometimes I think we hold very, very tightly onto our relationships. But we live in a world that is filled with loss. I look out over all of you and I see people who have experienced loss. Some more than others. But we've all, to a certain extent, had some kind of loss in our life. What parent doesn't fear losing a child? What spouse doesn't fear losing the other? What about a dear friend or a sibling? Goodbyes are always going to be a part of our lives. Somebody once said this, love people deeply, but remember when it's time, let them go. Faith to release the people dearest to us is really at the heart of today's story from the Word of God. And if you would, turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. That's where we want to go this morning. It's the story of Abraham and Isaac. It's a very familiar story. It's one that we've heard many times before. But it is this idea of holding something loosely. It's the idea of letting something go that's very, very dear to us. It's the story of when God asked Abraham, his champion, to let go of his son. Of all the father-son stories in the entire Bible, of all the relationship stories in the entire Bible, this is one that really tugs at our heartstrings, right? It's hard for us to understand and even to contemplate what God is asking Abraham to do here. Abraham is now over 100 years old. And he had little hope even to have this boy, Isaac, because of his age and the age of his wife, Sarah. And then this bundle of joy, this little boy comes along, Isaac, and grows into this young man that Abraham is proud of and loves. And then verse 1 of Genesis chapter 22 says this: after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go into the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. No preamble, no nothing, just the command to go and to sacrifice your son. Why would a God who is kind and gentle and loving even ask such a thing of a man, of anyone, of any father? God had never before, nor has he since, ever asked for a human sacrifice. It's the only instance in the entire Bible. Why now? Why Isaac? One commentator I read suggested this. They said that God made this request for two reasons. The first was to test the authenticity and the depth of Abraham's faith. And the second was to remind Abraham that we are to adore God as the giver of gifts, even more than we adore the gifts that he gives. I'm going to say that again. It was to remind Abraham that we are to adore God as the giver of gifts, even more than we adore the gifts that he gives. There's a lesson there, because how often do we want to worship the Isaacs? How often do we want to worship the gifts that we are given, the Isaacs that he has put into our lives? But God wants us to have the security that comes only from anchoring ourselves to his love and not tying our hope to the temporal, not to the temporary relationships that he has put in our lives. Because at some point, each and every one of us have to come to this realization that God is really all that we need. Because all the other things are going to go away. It's all going to burn. And we need to anchor ourselves to our Heavenly Father and not to the temporal. So how did Abraham respond? Well, let's read on. Do you think that he's going to argue? Do you think that he's going to vacillate? Do you think that he's going to bargain? Check out verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning, and he saddled his donkey, and he took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut wood for the burnt offering. And he rose, and he went to the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place from afar. And then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. So no whining, no bargaining, no stubborn refusal, no pleading. All that there is here is just acceptance and trust. That astounds me probably more than anything else in this story. And there's a lot of astounding things in this story. But Abraham says nothing. He just says, okay, and goes. He doesn't even say that. But there are some remarkable things that we need to see here, at least three. First, the speed with which Abraham obeyed. Doesn't hesitate. He doesn't question. Abraham hears God's voice. God says, go. I want you to go to Moriah. I want you to sacrifice your son. Abraham says, okay. That's it. I mean, I'm sure that there was a lot of things that were swirling around in his mind, but that's what he does. He just obeys. Second, check out the simplicity of his faith. Because he does have faith. He displays it here. And you can see it in verse 5. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. You catch the drift of what he says there? He says, we're going to go and we're going to come back. He went in obedience to do the thing that God told him to do, however horrible and horrific this was. He went and he obeyed, but he believed that Isaac was coming home with him. He just believed. He didn't know how, but he believed. Abraham knew that God somehow was going to allow them to walk back down that mountain. He didn't know how, but he just believed. And as you read on, check out verse 6. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and he laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. And they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. And so they went, both of them, together. Isaac's probably a young man by now. He sees the wood, he sees the fire, he sees the knife. He doesn't see an offering. He doesn't contemplate that he is the offering at this point. Who would? But he asks about it, and I mean, how would you answer if you were Abraham? He just says simply, God will provide. Abraham is simple in his faith. And he just believes and he just continues to do the things that God... And that kind of leads to the other thing that I want you to notice is that Abraham had a thoroughness to his obedience here. He didn't do things in half measures. He went all the way. God said, do this, and he did this. Every detail of his actions reveals his resolve. Check out... Verse 9, when they came to the place of which God had told them, Abraham built the altar there, and he laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. Abraham doesn't say, okay, Isaac, let's put on a good show. I'm going to pretend to tie you up, and I've got a rubber knife here in my back pocket. You squirm a little bit, maybe cry out a few times. Let's make it look good, and we'll wait to see what God's going to do. Abraham doesn't do that. He ties him up, takes a real knife, lays out the altar, he ties him up, takes out a real knife, and he gets ready to do the horrible deed. He risks the life of his son, his one and only son. He risks the future of the people of the people of God, the Hebrew people. He risks everything for his obedience to his father. It certainly can't be said of Abraham or Isaac, really, that they did not take chances in obeying the Lord. I mean, think about it. Isaac's this young man. Abraham is like over 100. I mean, Isaac could have just, you know, he could have just run away. Abraham wasn't going to catch him. He could have just, you know, said, "Dad, what are you doing?" Hit him on the head and ran away. He didn't do any of that. He just stayed there. And he let his dad do this horrific thing. I sometimes wonder what it was like on the way back down the mountain. If Abraham or Isaac was kind of looking at his dad sideways, like, "Really? You were going to do this to me?" That's just something that I think about a lot. But it's remarkable that both of them had this obedience. When the stones were in place and the wood was piled high, Abraham stretched out his hand. He was going to do it. And then verse 11, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I. Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for I now know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Abraham drops the knife and helps Isaac off the altar, holding his son close to him. But God isn't through. Verse 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket of his horn by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. And so Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." Using the same rope and the same knife, Abraham sacrifices not his son, but the animal that God provided. There are some things that we need to ponder here. Just some analogies that are worth noting. And so as we close today, I want to give you just three. Mount Moriah, the place that Isaac named "The Lord will provide," or that Abraham named "The Lord will provide," Mount Moriah was the place where a father was getting ready to sacrifice his son, but ultimately released his son, let go of his son. He did that on a place called Mount Moriah. Interestingly enough, centuries later, after kingdoms have come and gone, after Abraham and Isaac's footprints have long been obliterated, Mount Moriah comes to be known by another name, Mount Calvary. And here, another father releases his son. And take a look at, just consider these three things, the similarities between Abraham and Isaac and God and his son Jesus. There's some things that we can learn here. Here's the first thing. God the Father showed us how to give when he released his son to us at Bethlehem. When as Abraham let go of his son, our Heavenly Father also let go of his son on that first Christmas. As he allowed Jesus to become this tiny little embryo in Mary's womb, and when he was born, he became a helpless, crying infant that would grow and play and learn and ultimately suffer for your sin and for mine. Here's the second thing. God the Son showed us how to die when he released himself to the Father at Calvary. And just as Isaac submitted to his father, and make no mistake, he did submit. He let things happen. Just as Isaac submitted to his father without fighting and just trusting his dad, Jesus offered himself to the Father. What did he say? Not my will, but yours be done. Here's the third thing. God the Holy Spirit is going to show us how to live when we release whatever we have in our grip through obedience. I mean, Abraham passed the test that he had been given. When he released Isaac, when he let go and he said, I will do what you say, God, he passed the test. But the question I have for you is, what is it that God desires you to hold a little bit more loosely, to loosen your grip on? What is it in your life that God may be asking you to release entirely? Is it a possession? Is it your occupation? Maybe it's a dream you have. Maybe it's a relationship. Well, if anything, this story tells us that with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can let go. I mean, I'm not saying any of those things are bad, but what I am saying is that there comes a time when some of those things, they become so important to us that they become a barrier, they become a wall between us and our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a problem. Because where is your identity wrapped up in? Is it in your possessions or is it in your relationship with the Lord? That's an important question to ask. What is it that maybe you need to let go of today? As you think about that, and as you try to let go, listen to A.W. Tozer's prayer, because he said this: Father, I want to know you, but my coward heart fears to give up its toys. I cannot part with them without inward bleeding, but I do not try to hide from you the terror of the parting. I come trembling, but I do come. Please root from my heart all those things which I have cherished so long and which have become a very part of my living self, so that you may enter and dwell there without a rival. Then you shall make the place of your feet glorious, or my feet glorious. Then will my heart have no need of that sun to shine in it, for yourself will be the light in my heart, and there will be no night there ever again. In Jesus' name, amen. Every parent who has choked back the tears of a child's first day of school understands releasing. Every retiree who has taped up the last box or removed the last picture and said the last goodbye understands what it means to release. Anyone who has taken that last walk past a coffin understands what it means to release. If that pain of loss still haunts you, then maybe you haven't yet released it. Maybe you're still clinging. But if anything, the story of Abraham and Isaac tells us that the giver of the gifts, in his providence, in his love, loves you and wants to be the focal point of who you are. He wants to give you a richer treasure. Himself. So, I guess as we leave today, I would ask you this. Will you cling to God alone? He released his son for you and for me at Calvary. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you that we can be here in church once again. Father, it is good to be here. And I pray that we would be able to see through this time that we have spent away from this building. We haven't been away from church, but we've been away from this building. God, I pray that we would use the lessons that you have been teaching us so that we can deepen our relationship with you, that we can grow as individuals and as a church. Father, help us to remember the things that you want us to remember. Help us to let go of the things that you want us to let go of, to hold them loosely and to hold you more tightly. We thank you for this time. Thank you that we can be here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jude verse 24 says this, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, power and authority before all time, now and forevermore. Amen."